This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 141. So today we are talking to Marla Rausch again, or certainly I am, of Animation Vertigo. This is a really exciting conversation where we deep dive into Marla's sort of highly sophisticated service offering, which is motion capture animation. She's a Filipina, Philippines background, educated here, but is now taking on the world, based in the US, but powering this whole thing with a Filipino workforce. So I'm super excited to have her back to talk about Animation Vertigo. I'm sure you'll enjoy this. If you want to get in touch with Marla or want to know any more, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/141. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back again, everybody. Today, I'm excited to have Marla Rausch back of Animation Vertigo. So we previously spoke to Marla about her background, and now I'm excited to deep dive into Animation Vertigo, which is a very high-end, high-skill-based outsourcing agency. I suppose you can explain it like that, but also it is really just an animation production studio. So super excited to discuss this with you. Marla, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Derek. Yeah, that's really nice of you to say. Thank you.
No, absolutely.
Thank you for having me back.
It's a pleasure. And I suppose, can you just introduce yourself better than I can and how you came to be running Animation Vertigo?
Oh, but you did it so well. I'm Marla Rausch. I am founder and CEO of Animation Vertigo and Animation Vertigo Asia here in the Philippines. We do motion capture animation for film, video games, and TV. I'm the reason why your children don't study. That's what I like to say.
Wow. And so normally, you know, on our show, we're talking to kind of the stock standard BPO, and more specifically BPOs that offer services to SMEs. So a lot of it is the kind of, not mundane, but more standardized operational tasks of business. Whereas you, I think Animation Vertigo is completely out of my league and a lot of leagues of the listeners, in that it's a very, very specialized vertical, yeah? And do you consider yourself as an outsourcer, or are you just really a kind of specialized service provider?
I think both, because, you know, we're a specialized service provider for those that like to see us as their partners in their pipeline, that it helps their business grow, it helps them push the boundaries of the animation that they want to produce, and it pushes the content that they create. And for some people, we're outsourcers because it's the one-time, big-time deal that they need to do this one thing, and, oh, there's a company that can do it, so we can send it to them. And so I see it both. I treat it the same. I treat them all as my partners, and we work together, and our goal is to create amazing content.
Right. And just to recap a little bit, you are born and raised Philippines, Filipina.
In the Philippines, yeah.
Educated in Manila in the Philippines. Then you went to the US and started this, started Animation Vertigo, this iteration in about 2004, at which point your first hires were people in the Philippines. Now, outsourcing had been happening for maybe up to 10 years prior to that, but it was predominantly call center. So you were at the cutting edge. I just want to kind of deep dive a little bit into your initial experiences with outsourcing, kind of, I suppose, the operational aspects. But also, did your clients know that you were powering this whole thing by people sitting in the Philippines?
Absolutely. That was the first thing that I said, that it was going to be a studio in the Philippines that was going to do their work. We ironed out how it was going to happen, where the process in which they were going to be sending their data, and to secure it, to make sure that it was absolutely, we were able to keep them confidential and protect them, because they are proprietary information. It was a it was a big start. I mean, my first client was Sony, so it you had to really put your A game in there. And so while we started slow, making sure that we were thorough and detailed and careful, we also were looking around, and well, word of mouth spread, and I had other calls, and it became a steady business from then on. But yeah, they were well aware that it was in the Philippines, and their constant joke was, we need to do a due diligence and probably see the beaches. I mean, the studio.
Yeah, and you know, I find it, because to get Sony as your first client is no mean feat. And, you know, I suppose with that extra level of concern or friction that it's based in the Philippines. But then obviously your client book grew. Were there many competitors in the market space, or were you a very early entrant in doing this?
In the Philippines?
Well, in to your client facing in the West, were there any other agents doing this?
There were a few here and there. There was, I think, a couple of companies in India, I think, and a few in the European states, I think. I wasn't quite aware of another company that did what we did in the Southeast Asian region. We were... And to be perfectly honest, I was more concerned about making sure that we were going to be at least a competitor in the field at some point. We started with six people and training six people and getting them going to, you know, to support the demand that we created. What people don't understand when it comes to services like what we do is that if you can do well and you can communicate well and you do have the skill and the talent and a complete understanding of what the client needs and what they're looking at, it actually becomes a trust that is easily built and is built on. So we were very fortunate to build that relationship, and then they were happy to so much with our work that they were telling other people in the industry about us, and then the other people then started reaching out to us and saying, we have this much work and we don't have enough people, so can you help us out? And yeah, so we grew 6 to 50.
Wow. And you know, very commonly you do see that within outsourcing, in that people, the functions are so interrelated that you aren't really just contractors. You are actually becoming partners for the clients, aren't you?
And, yes.
You know,
yes.
Your input is as valuable as the clients, because you're probably more better placed to give it.
Absolutely. And I think it's great because the clients do see you as a resource that they can talk to, because we would have so many ways that we would use the software packages that they would only use it in one way, which is their process. So when they ask me things like, is that, you know, do you know of a way that makes this more efficient, or is this the best way for us to do it? Sometimes, especially if it's something that we've developed internally, we can share those tricks of the trade, because there are tricks of the trade that we have to kind of keep to ourselves, because they're a different client's trick. But when it's our stuff, we're more than willing to share what we know, and they're happy to learn something from us the same way that we're learning from them. So it's kind of really cool, because unlike before, where when you say outsourcing, people look at you and see, oh, you know, it's a black box that you can basically toss things in there and then something comes out and it's what you need. Now it's the, oh, yeah, I have to ask Marla if that's something they do, or I have to ask Marla about that because I haven't seen that yet. Maybe she has. And it becomes a true partnership, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, I have a dream of maybe one day creating like a test company where the owner and investor literally just has an idea and then reaches out to various contractors and outsourcers to literally execute and perform every aspect of the business. Because it's getting to a point now where, I mean, I would never consider making a movie, but if I was to make a movie, you could go to someone to make the storyboard, you could go to someone to animate it, you could go to someone for the sort of operational back end, the sales, the marketing, the customer service. And it would be an interesting test case, wouldn't it? Because the
For sure. I mean, nowadays, if you ever decide to, well, nowadays when you watch Marvel, you have to sit through the credits anyway. But if you do watch the credits, because you'll see so many animation companies in there, and it's one after another, production companies, VFX companies, and everything. And that's because in that movie alone, it wasn't one company that did all of the special effects. It wasn't one company that did all of the character actions. It was several companies that they've contracted and they worked out and they did all that in various places and for one reason or another. And so it's truly collaborative that they can put things together and well, as seamlessly as they can, of course. And yeah, and I'm sure that their animatics is taken from somewhere else, and then their storyboarding happens somewhere else, and but with one production house overseeing it all.
Right, and I suppose just for a bit of background, again, you do 3D animation, motion capture animation, which is effectively the Avatar, and then also
Yes.
the highly special effects of the Marvel comics and stuff like that. But is it all, I imagine it's not all kind of blockbuster Avatar. You do, is it appearing in more and more places? And then also you mentioned you do the VR and the AR, which is obviously now a burgeoning technology.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, majority of the work still, of course, lives in the video game industry where we do, we work on Call of Duty, we worked on Mortal Kombat X, there's a lot of the motion capture right now is being used in that sort of gameplay and cinematics in the video games, which makes it well, fun to play and make it difficult for me to call my children for dinner. But in general, it's one of those where when we talk about motion capture, we're talking about just the ability, well, just, but the ability to take the motions of a human in real life and putting it in a 3D world. And then once they're in the 3D world, you can change that actor from a normal human being into, let's say, an ogre or the Hulk or, the dwarf. And it just makes it now look realistic rather than fantastical when you're watching a movie or playing a video game
And
or
also, is there
TV.
unlimited leverage on that actor? Because could they do they do like 10 hours of poses, but then you could effectively create 100 hours of video reel once you have those the data points. Is that right? Like you can literally spin them off into any.
Well, let's think of it this way. So there's about in a big shoot day, for example, there's about anywhere from 150 to 200 cameras that's facing an actor who's basically doing a scene. And these are motion capture cameras that have those LED lights and everything, and they're all focused, and they're getting the reflections off the markers on the actor's body. There could be one of them, there could be 19 of them, and they're all acting a scene on the set. And you're translating all of that data and putting it into a 3D world where now my guys and I are looking at it and making sense of it and making it look and making the putting the actor on those on that skeleton basically. And once that actor is there, the actor being the human-sized person, we now need to put that onto a skeleton of the character, which if it's an ogre, then all of a sudden this regular-sized human is now a 9-foot ogre, and now we have to fix the body parts and fix the motion so that it actually reflects the motions and the movements of a bigger person compared to a regular-sized person. So it's really translating already something that was captured that the director wanted and putting it into the scene that they needed to show, if that makes sense.
Wow, it does. I'm a
I mean,
little bit. That's incredible, and it is a contrast to what I normally discuss because we're often discussing customer services and operations, and this is really, it's eye-opening, and I hope it is for listeners out there that
I hope so.
the potential you are. This is being powered by people in the Philippines, and so it's not just a call center kind of country. What are your opinions? Have you had days where you're just like, why am I doing this in the Philippines? Can't I just hire people in Silicon Valley or LA and make my life easier? Or do you really see, you know, vast opportunity here in the Philippines for this?
I honestly see vast opportunity in the Philippines. Well, aside from the desire to want to have Filipino artists recognized worldwide, which is one of the reasons why I started it in the Philippines, it's being able to have that. The first time I've ever done a video game and my name was suddenly on the credit, there was something powerful about that. It was really cool and I couldn't believe it, and oh my gosh, my name is right there. And I get to do that with my guys now, you know, my team. I negotiate hard so that we can get that credit. And it means so much, you know. A lot of people, they skim through the credits, they don't see anything. It's so tiny, it's so small. But I mean, I kid you not, screenshots of that happen and my guys will post it and they're like, there's my name. And it means something that they live where they live. They live where their families are. Filipinos are a family-oriented culture. We love the community here. You know, there's something about a Philippine fiesta that is unparalleled. And, you know, the social life here is amazing. And for them to be able to do what they love to do and they would kill to do and do it here and see their names on video games and, you know, hopefully soon on a movie, that's amazing. And I think I do it for that more than anything else. If I was going to do it anywhere else, it would probably be purely on a business decision that, oh, we're going to expand and we need more and whatever. And I'll probably think about that if I ever think that the Philippines becomes a little tricky or problematic business-wise as an environment. But if it's not, then I'll do my best to expand more, actually, probably in the provinces if I can, and see if I can get more people show off their talents.
It is incredible. It's an incredible opportunity. And I've mentioned this before, but, you know, people aren't now trying to get an existence, get a career from working in a factory or in a call center. But this is really cutting edge stuff and leading the world and, you know, getting acknowledged in the credits of these cutting edge things. It's really incredible, isn't it? I mean, it's a win-win and so empowering for people in the Philippines and the Philippine economy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and it's really cool because what people don't realize is that my clients come and visit because they want to meet the team that helped make them successful, you know, and they come over and they enjoy the camaraderie that my guys share with them. You know, they're like, hey, have a red horse. And I'm like, stop trying to get them drunk, you know, or, you know, oh, try this. You know, this is balut. And they're like, okay, stop it. Everybody's in it and everybody's enjoying, and you know, the clients that's visited us have nothing but good things to say about the team and the experience here in the Philippines. And they always say they want to come back and they want to come back and visit and see the team, and they're trying to find ways to, you know, to do that, you know, in business sense, business way, so that they can deduct it in taxes and stuff. But, you know, it's cool.
It is. And there's such a sort of cultural alignment and affinity, isn't there? And I really think that is a huge boon for the Philippines. And, you know, it's had a tough past and it's been colonized. But really, you know, there's huge advantage in the cultural alignment and the English.
Yes.
In terms of outsourcing and this skill base, are there any other competitors in the world? Like, is India a destination now for rendering, or Eastern Europe?
Yes. India is still has a lot of other companies that compete with me. China has also started as well. I think there are still a few that are doing it in the North America. But certainly not to the extent that I can expand, because if you can imagine the cost of living in the U.S. as well as the salaries and the expectations that, you know, of hiring motion editors or animators is vastly different from the U.S. and the Philippines. So while it is, you know, something of an expense to hire a lot of people here. It certainly wouldn't compare to if I decided to hire 50 people in the U.S. compared to hiring 50 people in the Philippines. That said, I always think of it as I'm letting my partner clients grow their skill set, because they're spending their money now more on the highly skilled and specialized animators who are doing what they want to do in the first place. The stuff that we do tend to be more technical and rather than artistic. And when you talk about an animator, they tend to want to be artistic rather than technical. But since we do that part and we do that part well, then their animators can focus on on the artistry of it all. And the so really, it's almost like a cohesive partnership that we have, because we allow them to hire their specialized skilled people and allow them to do what they want to do, and we get to do what we want to do and be a part of the animation industry of the world, right?
It's exciting, isn't it? And that is where it's a win-win, isn't it? It really is.
Yes. Yes.
Fantastic. So thank you so much, Marla. And if anyone out there wants to make a $100 million animated movie and want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can get in touch with us at www.animationvertigo.com. We have our Facebook page. You can contact me as well at info@animationvertigo.com. And, you know, social media is always so nice these days.
Amazing. And we'll put all of those contacts in the show notes. Thank you so much, Marla.
Thank you so much, Derek. It's always a pleasure.
That was Marla Rausch of Animation Vertigo. So if you want to get in touch with Marla at all or want to know more about what she does, go to our show notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/141. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.